Morning Star. Amen. Good to be saved by God's grace. Amen.
Amen.
This is the greatest day I've seen in my entire life to have revival.
Amen.
Some of you looking at me like, really? You haven't been listening to the news?
Yeah.
No. That's why you, that right there helped you if you just started getting you, getting your faith fed from the scripture instead of your fear fed from the all that you can see and hear. Amen. If I were to ask you how long it's been since you worshiped, I wonder if you'd have to study on it. What about if I ask you how long it's been since you worried? Probably within the last few hours, probably. Or probably if I ask how long has it been since you hadn't worried? You probably could think of that. But if worry is more noticeable in your life than worship is, the problem is not God.
Amen.
The problem is not God. Could I say it this way? And I'm living in the same world you are. And I've been battling the same things you've been battling. Amen. But the Lord's helped me. The Lord's helped me. Amen. I was being given to fear. And a lot of people still are. But the Lord helped me to get past that.
Amen.
And I'll tell you one way He did. He said, where is my sovereignty? Where is my sovereignty? Is God only the God on the mountain? Y'all go ahead and be seated. Is God only on the God? Is He only God on the mountain? You know, those in the Old Testament, that was their persuasion. Oh, if we can get them in the valley, we've got them. If we can get them on a lower level, we got them. And you know what? The devil still believes that. You know why? Because that has been successful many times. We've been guilty. I said we. We've been guilty of smiling only on the mountaintop. Shouting only on the mountaintop. Testifying only on the mountaintop. Amen. Amen. The devil has seen that that has been a way of life for us, that if he can get us off of that higher altitude spiritually, that he can defeat us. And what that does is that casts a bad image upon our Savior. We're making it look as though that He's only good on the mountain. He's only God on the mountain. Amen. And I'll tell you what the Lord, what all of, and I'm going to say this, the Lord spoke to my heart about it just sitting back there. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and I want everybody to listen, when we stand, we as believers, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you nor I will be able to use circumstances of any description as an excuse for spiritual decline. Amen. Do I need to get more plain with that? You nor me will be able to say, you know what, Lord? I was defeated, I was discouraged, I was unfaithful, I quit praying, I didn't read my Bible, I was unfaithful in tithing and giving to missions, I was why? Because of the virus. That won't hold no water. That ain't gonna hold no water. Well, preacher, I wanna ask you a question. I wanna ask you a question tonight. Are we, and defeatism is swamping churches, defeatism. You can't get a holy grunt out of most people. I'm serious. You can't even hardly get an amen out of most people. I mean, what you've had going on here tonight's out of the banks lively compared to most churches. Because they've got their eyes off of God. They've got their eyes off of His sovereignty. And they've got their eyes on a circumstance or a situation or some threat or whatever. My goodness, every time I get in the car, my wife will tell you, every time I get in the car, somebody's in danger. Say amen right there. I told my wife, I said, you can't talk. That's that every time you drive, I get saved three times. Amen. Fear, listen, uncertainty is a part of life. If you're, amen, things to be fearful about is every way you turn, every way you look. There's something, amen, getting an elevator. What promise do you have of making it to the floor you're wanting to go on? I mean, there's just, you got to trust, hey, what I'm saying is, you got to trust God somewhere. It's either we believe God or we don't. It's either he's faithful or he's not. It's either that he is on the throne and he's in charge and nothing catches him by surprise, or else he is a pitiful, pathetic, weak, deaf and dumb and blind God. Amen. But that's what helped me, was that I come to the place, I can either believe God or else. What's the or else? What options do I have that makes sense? What options do I have that really helps me? If it's not trust in God, then what? Amen. You know why Paul, listen, Paul suffered more than all of us put together. And when he was in prison, you never find him down. Never find him discouraged. He might have been bleeding, his back bleeding, his hands and his feet in the stock, as was true when he wrote the book of Philippians, which is, the whole theme of it is joy. You know why? Because he had the right perspective about God. In chapter 1 and verse 12, which seems to be a very key verse to the book, he said, "Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." I want you, I'm paraphrasing, I want you to know that these things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Yes, sir. He said, I'm in this prison and I'm bleeding and I'm hurting because it was God's will to put me in here for the furtherance of the gospel. Man, you can't defeat somebody like that. Amen. You can't defeat someone like that. But if you're whining around, and I could write a book on whining. God help us, amen. Baptists think that's a fruit of the Spirit. Hey, don't you think so? I think Baptists think that whining and complaining and murmuring is a fruit of the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, sadness is never produced by the Holy Ghost. Now you check that. Listen to that. Sadness is never produced by the Holy Spirit. So if you're sad at any time, and all of us go through those, but it's never spiritual. Sadness is not spiritual. Some of you looking at me like you don't believe that. Some of you looking at me like you're guilty. Sadness is not spiritual. I made a statement when I first got in the pulpit tonight, and some of you looked at me like, I don't know about that. When I made the statement that this is the greatest opportunity I've ever seen in my entire Christian life of almost soon to be 40 years, amen, of having an old-fashioned revival meeting. I'm not talking about series of services. I'm talking about a move of God. You say, but preacher, it's dark and it's difficult. Yes, I understand that. But revival has never come in days of prosperity. Never. Revival has never come when everything was wonderful and everything was fine. You study the Hebrides revival in the Hebrides Islands there off of the coast of Scotland. Look at that. Study that. Look at the Great Awakening, the Great Welsh revival. Look at that. It was in days when sin was rampant. And it was morally dark and religiously just, it was gone. But somebody was praying. Are you listening? God can move in spite of darkness, but he will never move without a Christian. If we got a hold of that one statement that just came out of my mouth, if we got a hold of that one statement, that would help us for sure. God can move in spite of viruses, and God can move in spite of politics. God can move in spite of the economy. God can move in spite of all kinds of things that we could add to that list. But he can't move unless he's got somebody to move through and move with. God uses people. Amen. Yes, it's dark, but I'll tell you what sinners are doing For the most part, sinners are searching. Sinners are looking. They know, they may not know Bible prophecy. They may not know the details of doctrinally that me and you may know. But I'm going to tell you, they can sense. I've had them to tell me, they can sense something is changing. Something is up. I'll tell you what's up. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled rapidly. Amen. Amen. I'm going to mind the Lord. Let me ask you something. If you're sad, I'm putting this if there. If you're sad tonight and down and defeated, is it because prophecy's being fulfilled? Or is it because your little world is not normal now? Come on. You might as well just say, oh me, Lord help us. Yep. We're in the condition we're in, not because Jesus is coming and Bible prophecies is being fulfilled and things are winding down, or rather, more accurately, things are winding up. Amen. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. You know what he's saying? Instead of getting down, look up. That'd be a good message title. That'd be a good message title tonight, wouldn't it? Instead of getting down, look up. Amen. Amen. Miss Stapleton, oldest member we had before she died, she was in her upper 90s, and she wasn't just skin and bones. She was bedfast, and I'd go to see her, try to be a blessing to her, and she ended up she'd be a blessing to me. And I'll never forget it. One of the last times I went, she looked at me, and she'd done it more than once, but she would look at me as I was getting ready to walk out of her bedroom door after I'd prayed with her and stuff, and she'd say, preacher. I'd turn around and said, yes, Miss Stapleton. She'd hold that little old bony hand up and she'd say, keep looking up. There's nothing down. Why do we go around like this? Do we honestly believe there's something down there? Something below, something down to look for and try to find? No, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'll tell you, it's time. And this time is classic time, needful time, essential time that you and I lift up our heads, amen, and seek the face of God. And let ask God to use you. Ask God to use you to show people that this is not a day that everybody's down and, you know, everybody on drugs. No, this is a day for Christians to shine. No greater time for darkness, for light to shine than in when it's really dark. Because when it's like that, the darker the night, the brighter the light. Darkness magnifies the light. Dr. Ed McAbee, I heard him, and you, preach, you probably heard him many times, but I heard him make the statement when he was growing up as a little boy, and he was raised on a in the Air Force, in an Air Force base, and he was in charge, and some of the other kids, when they would do a practice blackout, it was his responsibility. He had a certain few blocks or few streets that he was supposed to ride his bike through, and whatever he had to holler out, you know, the British are coming. No, I'm just kidding about that, but he'd holler out something, you know, but it was an indication for the blackout. And he said this, he said, a trained fighter pilot could spot in complete total blackout a match light 30 miles. You said, preach, it's dark. Are you a match light? Amen. Who can't be a match? Good night. Have mercy. But not too many people wants to be a match, because nobody goes around bragging about a match. Because they're not big enough. But a match is little, but look what it can do. Oh my. Lord wants to help us tonight. Amen. This is all the plan of God. I didn't plan it. God's planned it for us to be here tonight. And I, amen. What did you come to church wanting tonight, spiritually? Did you pray about something? Did you come with expectation? Did you come with anticipation? Did you come, man, I can't wait to get there. Been praying, I've been preparing. I've been asking God. Huh? A lot of times you come to church with no expectation, and guess what you leave with? Nothing. Amen. But you know what I found out? That when you come with no expectation and you leave with nothing, you're not disappointed because you weren't looking for nothing. Amen. But this is a day, listen, what's going on in our country and has been for the last few months is manifesting the church. I've lost people. I don't know of a preacher anywhere that hadn't lost people through all this mess. Amen. And I mean, listen, it's sad. But what is going on in our country has not caused spiritual decline. It's manifested it. What's going on in our country hasn't caused prayerlessness. It's manifesting it. Amen. I mentioned this morning, and I also mentioned our church. I said, what is going on now? None of us like it. But it is minor compared to what is coming. This is almost non-existent. What's going on is almost non-existent. It's almost insignificant. What's going on now compared to what's coming. And if what's going on right now has knocked people out of the saddle, so to speak, has knocked people out of church, so to speak, has amen. Listen, if what's going on now has took and yielded such a lick to people today, there's been churches that have closed. There have been preachers walk off from ministry. Walk off. We had a preacher in our service a few weeks ago, and his whole church closed down, and he was the pastor. Are you listening? What are we going to do when the storm hits? What are we going to do when the wind starts blowing and when things come in like it's going to listen, head us toward the beginning of the tribulation period? What? Amen. An absolute, this country, and not just this country, globally, it's got to get in such a mess that nobody has an answer. And the Antichrist is going to step on the scene, and he's going to have all the answers and the solution, and everybody's going to flock to him, and it's going to usher in the tribulation period. Amen. God help us. Amen. Right now is a time that you and I should be developing our spiritual life. Developing your spiritual life. Amen. It's not a time to get slack. It's a time to step up. Amen. Hope we hear that. How many heard that? Say amen. Raise your hand. Amen. It's not a time to get slack and slip. It's a time to step up. It's a time that we develop and deepen our spiritual life and get to know the God that we serve. And amen. If Daniel can be spiritual in the lion's den, if the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can be spiritual in the fiery furnace, what is our excuse? Amen. You can have joy in the storm. You can have joy in situations that are uncomfortable. Joy's never been conditioned by comfort. If that be the case, then Hebrews 12, what is it, verse 2, would be torn out of our Bible. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If joy was conditioned by comfort, Jesus would have had no joy on the cross. If joy was conditioned by circumstances, the Apostle Paul would have never wrote the book of Philippians. If joy was conditioned by hurt, Stephen would have never died the way he died, being stoned. But yet he was looking into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Seeing the glory of God. Amen. Amen. This is a time for the church of the Lord Jesus to be on fire. This is a time for the church of the Lord Jesus to be excited. This is a time for the church of the Lord Jesus to be what God calls us, a house of prayer. This is a time. Amen. This is not a time to look around and see what we can blame. This is not a time for the church to say, well, you could, if you just look and see what we're going through, that's why that we're the way we are. No. No, that's not right. Amen. Sitting back waiting on God to do something is not sitting back and saying, well, I'm just going to be slack and slothful till He does something. No, that's not it. That's not it at all, is it? Lord, help us. I hope we got what we said a while ago. I don't know if I've ever said it like that. That God can move in spite of the darkness. Light shineth out of the darkness, the Bible said. Amen. And darkness comprehended it not. Darkness couldn't arrest it. Darkness couldn't stop light. When the light is turned on through a Christian, amen, or through the Scripture, or through the Holy Spirit, when the light is turned on, darkness has to bow out. Darkness has to back up because darkness cannot overpower light. And the last time I read this King James Bible, every one of you that are saved, God said, you are the light of the world. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time. It's past time. It's high time for God's people to realize that the days of casual Christianity is over. The days of coasting Christianity is over. We're on a battlefield, we're on the home stretch, we're nearing the shore, this thing's winding down, it's about over. Far as the church age, listen, God's people needs to rally. God's people needs to rally toward God and around the things of God, amen. 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 Well, hallelujah, Lord God. Amen, Jesus. Boy, I need God to stir me. I've been asking myself, y'all don't care if I just be transparent. I've been asking myself in these last few months, do I have what it takes spiritually to be a last day preacher? I've been asking our church at Rogersville, I said, is this church ready to be a last day church? Do I have what it takes? Do I have the commitment it takes? Do I have the conviction that it takes? Do I have the love for Jesus that it takes to be a last day preacher, last day Christian, a last day voice? God help us. Amen. I don't think we're ready. I don't think we're ready for the storm that's coming. I don't think we're ready for it. I'm afraid that if right now, the condition of churches right now faces the storms that's coming, that are inevitable, they're coming. If we face it with the spiritual level we've got right now, there'll be churches closing left and right. There'll be churches closing left and right. The preacher that I've got filling in for me today, this morning and tonight, he stays absolutely covered up preaching just in churches that don't have preachers. Are y'all listening to that? Brother Gary Crisp, director, I guess it is, of Prayer Baptist Mission. His son-in-law is a preacher, and he told me, he said he's booked. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Sunday morning, Sunday night. Just filling in churches that don't have preachers. Right now, listen to me. I don't know why we're doing what we're doing, but I'm not worried about it, because over and over the Lord's bore witness to my heart that we're on track.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to me. I heard it the other day that what's going on right now is a classic circumstance for people in churches. Because I got curious as to why that a lot of preachers are walking away and resigning and leaving. Is because the pews in most churches are turning against the preacher, attacking the preacher. Attacking the preacher. Amen. Give him the benefit of the doubt, for crying out loud. We've never been through none of this before. There's no textbook wrote on it. There's not been a class taught on it in Bible college, how to deal with a pandemic or whatever you want to call it. Amen. Amen. I had a family leave because I didn't deal with it the way they thought I ought to deal with it. It doesn't matter if I got a 28-year track record at RBT, you know. It doesn't matter about that. You make a blunder, not violation of any verses of Scripture, didn't violate no Scripture, but just didn't do it the way I wanted him to do it. So I get the poochie lip and I'm leaving. I'm going to tell you what that is, friend. That is the epitome of carnality. That is immaturity to the highest level. Amen. If you don't play ball with my ball and bat, I'm going to go home. That's a baby, a big baby. I wished I'd have brought it. I didn't think nothing about it, but somebody bought it for me. I don't know where in the world they got it. I'd mentioned something about immaturity in some of wherever I was preaching, and they brought me one of them calf bottles. Like you nurse a calf with, that thing's that big. I've been laying off just taking it to my church and just put it up under the pulpit and pull it out every once in a while. But I don't know if God would be in that. This is not a time for people to be immature. This is a time for God to help us. I'm going to tell you what I believe God spoke to my heart about before I left the pew back there. I had in my mind what I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach, and I'm talking about seconds. Before I got up to come up here, God said, I don't want that. I don't know why he didn't tell me that this morning. But I tell you what he did speak to my heart about. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to make a few comments about this verse of Scripture. And it goes along with what I've already been saying. So don't get in your mind that I'm just now starting to preach, okay? Because it's going along with what I have been dealing with. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first begun to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And then he picks up the subject of angels again. He ends chapter 1 dealing with angels being ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. And what he's talking about in verse number 2, if the word spoken by angels, there were times in the Old Testament that God delivered a message, sent a message through an angelic messenger. And God's word says in verse number 2 that when that happened, that when that message was rejected or that message was transgressed or that message was disobeyed, even though it was a message through an angel, The Bible said that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward. God said they didn't get by with it. I sent a message through an angelic deliverer or messenger, and those that disobeyed and rejected or transgressed it, they did not get by. They got a recompense of reward for that. But then he goes into verse number 3, and he says here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Look at this, which at the first began to be spoken. See verse number 2, it talks about if the word spoken by angels. Well, verse number 3 takes it to another level. It's talking about the word spoken by our Lord. If it is transgressed, if it is disobeyed, will it not likewise bring about a judgment, bring about a recompense of reward? Definitely. So in verse number 1, we have, look at it, verse number 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed, listen to the things which we have heard. Give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Boy, that right there got me, I'm telling you. That speaks to my heart, that slipping. This is a classic opportunity for slipping. Letting things slip. Letting things float by. Letting things, amen, be carried off and away from you. Amen. Giving up things and just quitting. And amen. It's classic time. Morning Star, please. You got too much at stake to be slipping. Don't let things slip. Look at the investment that's been given in the history of this church. Look at the investment. Look at the preaching. Look at the truth that has been given to this church over the many years. Listen, don't let that slip. Don't let that get away from you. And it will. Right now is an opportunity for us to be distracted, get our mind on everything else, our eyes on everything else, and let truth slip away. Let convictions slip away. Let dedication slip away. Let commitment slip away. Let convictions slip away. People are losing ground, spiritually losing ground. And they're losing ground because they're allowing these things to slip away. Are you listening? The word slip just simply means to flow by. Carelessly or negligently pass by you. Letting things slip. If I were to ask you tonight, don't answer out loud, but in your heart answer honestly to yourself, because your spirituality is your responsibility. We've all been in this junk since March or so from this year. Ask yourself, am I closer to God than I was? Or have I lost ground spiritually? High percentage of people in churches, including preachers, would have to admit, I'm lower now than I was. I'm less now than I was. My desire is less. My drive is less. My spirituality, my discernment is less. My hunger for God is less. My desire to pray is less than it's been. Oh my, you know that's right. I mean, we're all in this together. I'm not preaching down at you. I'm in this. And I'd say that almost every, if I were to ask that for a show of hands, I'm not. But if I were, I wonder how many hands would have went up in here and said, preacher, you know what? I've lost ground too. I have lost ground. I'm not where I was. I'm not on fire. I'm not excited. I've lost my desire. I've lost my burden. Amen. I'm not enthused about church as I was. Don't read my Bible like I did. You know what that is? Letting those things that we have heard slip. And according to that verse, you know how you let them slip? By not heeding. That's right there in the verse. You did see it. The cause of slipping is right there in the verse. It said right there that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. In other words, as long as we're heeding, that is, we're obeying what is preached, what is printed, we obey it. We're heeding what we've heard. If it's heeded, it's not going to slip away. If it's heeding, if you're heeding it, it's a staying a part of your life. It's going to stay attached to your life. But when you stop heeding, stop receiving, and stop obeying, then what you have heard, it'll start slipping away, and it'll start slipping away. And you're talking about getting in an absolute spiritual mess in a quick few minutes. You can. I'm going to tell you, friend, a lot of people's letting things slip that they've heard, they know, they know it's Bible. There may have been times they made commitments in an altar, said, Lord, I am going to do this, and Lord, I am going to quit that. And you made decisions, and you made vows with God, amen, that you was going to be this or that, amen. But you can get so low, and you can get down, and you can get so defeated that desire to heed those things which you've heard goes out the window. Most churches are so afraid in our day they won't even go to an altar. Let me ask you something. You think that's of God? God isn't a million miles of that. Amen. Won't even go pray. Preach the word of God and they won't even go pray because they're afraid to move. Amen. You can live that way if you want to. I'm not living that way. If my God can't help me and deliver me and protect me, then I'm sunk anyway. Amen? Amen. And when I started thinking that way, victory started coming back in my life. Joy started coming back in my life. And purpose started getting big in my life again. Amen. 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 That's right. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That's good, ain't it? I want you to notice something else. Verse number one. Whose fault is it? Who do you blame the slipping on? Look what it says. Therefore we, I believe Paul, the writer of Hebrews, and also using the personal pronoun we, he includes himself in that. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Look at this. Lest at any time we should let them slip. You know who's responsible for the slipping? You can't blame it on the devil, friend. According to that last part of that verse, it shows that whatever has slipped away, it's our fault. We let them slip. Look at the word let there. He said, lest at any time we should let them slip. It didn't just slip. You didn't just wake up on Monday morning or Friday morning and say, wow, I can't believe I'm in this bad of shape spiritually. I don't know how it happened. I'll tell you how it happened. You let things slip. That's what the devil wants you to do. He knows that as long as truth is attached to your life and you're heeding what God says, that, listen, he doesn't have a chance. He's got to get you disconnected from the things which you've heard. He wants you to be bored at church where you don't even listen to the preaching. He wants you to be so down that you don't even read your Bible. I promise that's happening. Happening all in every one of our churches it's happening. Amen. You know that's right, isn't it? Slipping. My goodness. We're responsible for the slipping. My salvation 100% is in the hands of God, but my spirituality is in my hands. I'm saved by grace, but I'll never be spiritual by grace. My spirituality, my spiritual level, my spiritual life, my spiritual longings, all of it is in my hands. I can let those slip. My purpose, my God-given purpose, I can let that slip. I can let that go and let it slip. And let it flow negligently right on by. Spiritual slipping. We ought to give the more earnest heed. If I can lose it, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about letting things slip that we've heard. Give the more earnest heed. If I can let those things slip, then I'm responsible if they stay. If I'm guilty of them slipping, then I'm responsible by keeping them and preventing that slipping from taking place. Amen. Amen. Oh my goodness. May the Lord help us. I'm telling you, friend, you mentioned the future of our as far as you was talking about our country, the future of our kids. I'm going to tell you what I'm more concerned about. Not the future of our country. I am concerned about that, but I am more concerned about the future of our churches. I'm talking about churches like I'm preaching in tonight that's got your doctrine right, King James, right down the line. I'm telling you what, friend, what I'm seeing, and I'm traveling, I'm back on the road preaching a lot, and I'm telling you, churches are in an absolute mess spiritually. And you'll never live long enough to convince me that God's doing that. You'll never live long enough to convince me that churches drying up and dying is the will of God. There's no way that's right.
Amen.
Amen. God's people needs to, it's time we stand up. Amen. I'm talking about spiritually stand up. You say, preacher, I don't know what we can do far as this country. Well, I tell you what, we can pray. We can pray and we can vote and we can take a stand and all of that, and we should, and everybody ought to. Shame on anybody that would stand for the loose and the liberal and the radical side left. But watch this right here, brother. My problem, our problem today is not my lack of involvement in the nation. I'm just one person. I've got one voice and one vote, and I can pray. I don't know much of anything else I can do. But when it comes to me and my spiritual life, amen, and my spiritual world, the political world has no say-so in it. Amen. They have no vote in it. Amen, that's right. And you know what? I'll tell you how strongly I believe that. It doesn't matter what happened on November the 3rd. It doesn't matter who gets it, if the Looney Tunes gets it or who else gets it. I don't want that. I'm going to pray. I'm going to vote against that. But I'm going to tell you what, if that other crowd gets it, it don't have a thing to do with my spiritual life. I'm still saved. The Bible's still the Word of God. The devil's still a liar. I'm still heaven bound with the hammer down. I still have the Holy Ghost on the inside. I'm still sealed under the day of redemption. Thank God Jesus is still my life. Hallelujah, my name is still written in the Lamb's book of life. I can still worship. I can still pray. I can still praise God. Hey. If you got a spirituality that some little political move can take it away, you don't have much. Amen, 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 amen. That's right, friend. If your spiritual life is so flimsy that the slightest little bump in the road absolutely just throws you into a tailspin spiritually, and you don't know if you're ever even going to make it, then you don't have much. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, Lord. We act like that all this virus mess has changed the Bible. It's canceled out all the promises. We act like they don't need reading your Bible. Ain't none of it true. Why? Corona. Ain't no need to pray. Well, why? Well, Corona. Ain't you been reading the news? No, but I've been reading the Bible, friend. I've been reading the Bible. The Bible still says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Bible still says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible still says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Nothing that's going on in this world changes God's word. Last time I read it, it said that it is forever settled in heaven. Woo! Glory! Amen. That right there will give you joy, friend. You know why? That it's out of reach of the political world. The government has no say-so. They can't cancel it out. The God of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords backs this book, and this book backs him. We used to think Jesus was coming until Corona come on the scene. He's still coming. Amen. Amen. And the church is still the church, regardless of what's going on in our world. Yeah. Jesus, I did read it. I think I did read it in the Bible. I believe I did read it in the Bible. Jesus said upon this rock, talking of himself, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Amen. Nothing's going to stop Jesus building his church. Nothing's going to stop Jesus coming after his church. Nothing's going to stop me living forever with the head of the church. Amen. Well, where's our joy at? Well, I don't know, preacher. I'm just going to have to wait and see. Wait and see. I'm going to have to wait and see what they say tomorrow on the news. My mother-in-law, I tell you, my mother-in-law, she's a jewel. I can't tell none of them mother-in-law jokes. I can laugh at them when you tell them, but I can't tell them. I've got a good mother-in-law. I'm telling you, she's top-notch. Amen. But she's up in years quite a bit, and she spends all the time sitting there watching the news. Then she'll call my wife, worried sick. She'll call my wife down in the dumps. Oh, Lord, it's spiking again, and all these cases, and oh, Lord, have mercy. And my wife said, Mama, turn the television off. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. Whatever I'm taking my joy, God is not in it. Whatever I'm watching, whatever I'm listening to, whatever I'm thinking, if it's taking my joy, taking my worship, taking my desire, amen, God is not in it. Amen. Hallelujah, friend. Amen. I'm telling you, God gave me victory when I started looking at it that way. As long as I had the Lord God, how are we going to make it? And you know where I got a lot of that? You know where I got a lot of that from? Preachers. I've been around some preachers, and I'm talking about God's men. I'm talking about doing far more than I am for the Lord. And I got through listening to them. I didn't know if I was going to live to get in the car. I'm not kidding. I thought, Lord have mercy. I need to get in the car. He said, better make sure your windows get up. All this corona is airborne. I said, Lord have mercy. And that's the way I started. When all this started, that's the way I started. Scared to death. Terrified. Listen to preachers. Think, oh, Lord. Lord, I called our church off before it ever even become an issue. Before it was ever even talked about being any kind of recommendation or mandated or regulations or nothing, we called our started doing live stream. Are y'all listening? Yeah, amen. And it was because I was listening to so-called preachers. Are y'all listening? Y'all where I'm at, I tell you. And you know what? Listen to me. Because they said, we've been talking to people in the medical field. And we know this doctor so-and-so, and we know this nurse so-and-so, and this is what they're saying, and all of that. Well, Lord of mercy, I didn't think we was going to live to get our church canceled. I thought, well, we're out of here. And I got to looking at my spiritual life. I got to looking at what it was doing and where it was going. Amen. I wasn't preaching with any kind of faith. I wasn't preaching any kind of faith. It was all precaution and it was all this stuff. And brother, I'm telling you, when God showed me that my spiritual life was not pleasing to Him, amen. You know it's not God's will. Listen, you know it's not God's will for Him to do all that He did to save you and all He did to give you all things that pertain to life and godliness and for you to live in a hole somewhere. And when I started what was going on with me spiritually, I said, that's it. That is it. That's it. I am not swallowing this bunch of junk anymore. I'm going to get my direction from God. I'm going to get leadership from God. I'm going to lead our church the best I know how. And those that wants to come, come. I'm going to preach to them. We're going to worship. We're going to support missionaries. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's working wonderful. Amen. Our philosophy is simple. Way we God told me to do it, and it's been working excellent for us. In the old time, when you got sick with something highly contagious, you quarantined the sick. You can quarantine everybody, you quarantine the sick. And I said, it's what we're going to do. If you're sick, you didn't think you're sick. You didn't feel like you're sick. Been around somebody sick. Stay at the house. I'd rather for you to miss 3 or 4 services or a week or 2 weeks than for our whole church to have to miss Lord only knows how long. And that's worked excellent for us. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not telling y'all to do that. I'm just saying that's what we do. But I got tired of being defeated. Amen. Amen. I think we got the message. I ain't done, but I'm going to stop right there. You know what, Brother Jackie, what got me? That last statement in that verse. Lest at any time, we should let them slip. That means you're never in a safe zone, ever, that you cannot let those slip. At any time means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Morning time, noon time. Night time, daytime. Amen. Any of the seasons, any minute of the day, you could get in a condition to where you, at any time, you could let those slip. You never get to a place spiritually, we're not talking about salvation, spiritually, to where the ground that you have gained and the growth that you've had in your life could not let you let it slip away. I'm going to tell you what I'm aware of, Preacher Rackley. There's no chains on my hands. There's no chains on my feet. Any of us are just a choice away from the far country. But I don't believe, listen, studying that Bible, I don't believe the devil can get you out of God's will as long as you're spiritual. When I say spiritual, I'm talking about your relationship to the Holy Spirit is what it needs to be. I don't believe that. As long as you're spiritual, I don't believe the devil can do nothing with you. Amen. Because if you're spiritual, that means you're spirit-filled, and that means you're under the control of the Holy Spirit, and the devil can't defeat the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the devil knows that. So that's why he works overtime to get you away from that spiritual status, to get you in a status of carnality and flesh and fear and worry and worldliness. Amen. And get you there. And then once he gets you there, he pretty well can talk you into about anything he wants to. Preacher, sure as I'm standing here, the Lord spoke to my heart about Hebrews 2 and verse 1 before I left the seat back there. Are you slipping? And you know what? You don't have to tell me. You know why? Because I'm not your master. And I don't, you know, I don't have to tell you, but I have to be honest with myself. When I'm losing ground, I better be honest with myself. I better not be faking. I better not be acting like I'm all this when I'm not all that. Hey, and guess we're slipping 99% of the time, if not 100%. Guess where slipping starts? Privately. Nobody notices. Nobody knows if I prayed today. Nobody knows if I read my Bible today. And when you start allowing things to slip when nobody's looking, it won't be long till everybody's going to be seeing the slipping. Because slipping doesn't just start at one level and stay that way. It gets worse and worse and bigger. You may let little things slip at the first. Things that nobody knows, things that nobody sees, you may let those slip. Before long, though, you get to the place where you don't care, and then you start letting big things slip. Amen. If nothing else, we needed to be reminded tonight and to check ourselves spiritually and be honest with ourselves spiritually. Every mama, every daddy, every wife, husband, every daughter, every son, every grandparent needs to check yourself tonight and see, how am I doing? Ask yourself this question and be honest. How am I doing spiritually? Don't you think that's a legitimate question? And then you answer it. Most of the time when you go see a doctor, they come in, they probably ask you, hey, what's going on with you? Or something to that effect. You know what they're doing? They're wanting you who should know you. They're wanting you to tell them, I've got a problem here. I'm hurting here. I've got something going on right here. Or whatever. And that gives them an identity of where to start, of what to look for, what test to give. But if you go see a doctor and he comes in and remind you that you're on his clock, that's probably about several hundred dollars every few minutes probably. Okay. What help? What good would it be if you go to see a doctor and he said, hey, how you doing, Brother Rochester? How can I help? Oh, hey, doc, man. Hey, I'm doing great. He's just going to write you out a bill and say, adios, I can't help you. What good would that be? There's no honesty there. And then he's going to leave and get in the car thinking, now, buddy, that was about stupid. I come up here and paid a big bill to see a doctor because I've got some ailments, I've got some hurts, I've got something going on that needs checked. But when he asked me how I was doing, I said, hey, I'm doing great. That doctor went out of the room saying, that boy in there's got some issues. Same way with your spiritual life. Don't deny it. You'll never get help denying it. Amen. You'll never get help blaming others with it. Well, it's her fault, his fault. Well, the events that has taken place, it's their fault, it's that fault. You know who you're blaming? You know who ultimately you're blaming when you got, if you're in that mentality, you're ultimately going to come to the place where you're blaming God. If you keep going that route, well, it's her fault and it's his fault. And if they hadn't said that, and if this hadn't have done it, and all, you know, just keep on. If. Somewhere along the way, you're going to have to fall out with God and say, God, it's your fault. It's your fault, Lord. And I'm telling you, the Lord's been speaking to me. I don't know what's coming. And you don't. I know Jesus is coming, but I'm talking about we don't know what storms are coming. We don't know what issues are coming. We don't know. But I'm going to tell you what we can do. I believe we can know, am I ready or not? You'll never, Matthew 7, I'll be done right here. Matthew 7, when Jesus is talking about the wise man and the foolish man, you know the only thing that separated them two? We all know that. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Same storm, same rain, same wind, and the same day. That the same storm that came to the wise men's house is the same one, same identical description, came to the foolish man's house. The only difference was the foundation. But what was the foundation in that scripture? Jesus said, the wise man that builds his house on the rock is he that hears my word and does it.
Amen.
We're to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the Bible said this. Of course, it's the same wind, same rain, same storm, same day, same event, same everything. Is that he heard the word and did it not. Amen. Don't let your spiritual life slip. Because here's what I've learned. It's a lot easier to keep things in my life than it is to try to get them back after they have slipped away.
Amen.
When you let things slip away, it's hard to ever get them back. It's better to identify in your life, I'm getting a little slack right here. Before they slip, something's got to get slack before something slips. So just look at your life. What am I getting slack in? Because that is something that, it's slack, but it's still in your life. It's slack, but it's still a part of your life. But slackness leads to slipping. And slipping ends up leading to sinning. Let's all stand, please. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I've tried my best to be obedient to you tonight. Lord, I ask you to speak to hearts. I don't know in this church. I don't know, Lord, who you have arranged this service for. And I know I preach tonight preaching to myself. Lord, I don't want to let things slip. I don't want to let things slip in the storm. Lord, I'm reminded even now of Acts 27, that in that storm, they began to throw things overboard that were needed things, things that they needed on board. And if we're not careful, we'll start throwing things away and letting things slip away that are essential. And we once thought they were essential, but we got in such a spiritual low place and a spiritual discouragement and a spiritual defeat that we let things slip thinking it don't matter anymore. I'm not going to live. So what does it matter if I pray? Things are falling apart, so what does it matter if I read the Bible? Lord, that mentality is not of God. Lord, I pray you use the message tonight. I've tried my best. Lord, to mind you tonight. Lord, you made it clear and easy for me to follow your leadership. And I trust tonight that Morning Star Baptist Church will receive the message tonight. They'll give the more earnest heed. To the things which we've heard. Any time we should let them slip. There's a lot of people, even in Morning Star, as there are in our church, right now, today, they're living a life that's contrary to the things which they have heard. They know better. They know the Spirit of God has let them know you shouldn't be living this way. You shouldn't be thinking this way. You should not be feeling this way. You should not be submitting to fears and phobias to the point that it takes away our joy. There's a difference of being cautious and being fearful. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Have your way in this invitation, Lord, in Jesus' name.